If you look at the book of Acts 27, Acts chapter 27, I just want to talk to you about be encouraged and encourage, right? Be encouraged and encourage. I think we live in a day where we need encouragement, right? Be careful about just the steady diet of news and memes and whatever we see on Facebook, because it can fire you up and we can get ourselves off target, right, with everything that's going on. And what we need now is we need people that are just encouragers, right? Be encouraged and encourage. We cannot encourage others if we are not first encouraged ourselves. We have to be like David, and we need to learn to strengthen ourselves in the Lord first so that we can help those who are around us. And as we heard this morning, we live in perilous times, right? And that can become discouraging, but we continue on, as the scripture said, and we continue forward because God is not done here, right? The church continues on. We have to understand that people are still getting saved. There are young men that are still surrendering to the ministry. There are churches that are still being planted. Yes, it's rough in some sense, but I tell you what, we just see God continuing to work. And we need to learn to be encouraged so that we can encourage others. And what we read here before the preaching, this passage of scripture, the Apostle Paul decided that he was going to return to Jerusalem. This was in Acts chapter 20. He would return to Jerusalem, and many of his friends told him it would be a bad idea. Don't go back to Jerusalem. They're going to kill you. They're going to arrest you. It won't go well. But the Apostle Paul followed what he believed to be God's will for him. He was not worried about his physical state. He wasn't worried about the persecution that might befall him. He was determined to go back to Jerusalem. So what happens? He goes back and he gets arrested. He goes through several trials. He's before King Agrippa. Then he's before Felix and Festus. And he finds himself on a journey to Rome. Now, he's not worried one bit. He knows that God is allowing all this to happen to put him in the presence of kings to be able to preach the gospel, because the Apostle Paul continued to preach. If he had an audience before the King Agrippa, he preached the gospel. If it was before Festus, he preached the gospel. If it was in jail before the jailer, he preached the gospel. So he's not worried one bit. But we must understand that sometimes our plans don't always go according to plan. Has anybody been there, right? I was talking to Brother Jeff, right? You're right there right now, right? Our plans don't always go to plan. But if we trust in the Lord, he will continue to work through all that. So what do we find here? The passage of scripture, the verses that we read from verse 9 through verse 13, they started their journey to go to Rome. It's not working out. They try to start. There's no wind. You can't sail a boat without wind, right? They're just sort of dead in the water. And then all of a sudden, things start looking up. Look again in verse 13. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosening thence, they sailed close by Crete. So everything was a little rough in the beginning. But here we find in verse 13, a little bit of a wind blowing softly, gently, they're moving along. And it says in verse 13, supposing they had obtained their purpose, right? Everything's going great. We're on our way. Let's go. But you know what? Things are about to get rougher. And we're going to see that in just a few moments. Things are going to get rough. Have you ever had a bad day? A day that starts out bad and it just gets worse, right? There's a children's book that was also turned into a movie called Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. Right? And in the book, Alexander wakes up one day and he finds that he fell asleep with chewing gum and it got in his hair. And then when he goes down to breakfast, his brother finished off his favorite cereal. He goes to school, he gets on the bus, and boom, the only seat is between two girls. Then when he eats his lunch, he finds out his mom forgot to put the snack in, but instead just put a container of beans in his lunch. And he thinks, this is a bad day. And he thinks only bad things happen to him. But the truth is, we all experience bad days. We all experience days when things don't go according to our plan. And one pastor asked Warren Wiersbe this question: what should I do in my ministry when I have a very discouraging day? And he responded something about, be careful not to become critical. In the darkness, know that the sun will shine. And when God brings light to the situation, we will see that what we feared was nothing more than just shadows. I remember in the Old Testament, when Jacob felt like his world was falling apart, he lost a son. He thought he lost a second son. He didn't know what was going on. And he said, all these things are against me. But when we read that story, we know that there was not one thing against him, but God was orchestrating everything to get him and his family to Egypt to save them from a famine. We have to be careful that we don't get discouraged and have the attitude of Alexander and say, today is a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day, and only bad things happen to me. If we return to our passage of Scripture, look what it says in verse 14. Verse 13, they have obtained their purpose in their own mind, were on the way, no problems, but not long after there arose against it a tempestuous, wind called Euroclydon. Verse 13, a soft, gentle wind blowing. Everything's going good. After a rough start, life is getting better. And then all of a sudden, there is a fierce, mighty wind blowing against the ship. Verse 15, and when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Claula, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with the tempest. Have you ever had a day like that? I mean, the storm comes, right? And it's just, you feel like you are being tossed around. It says, the next day they lightened the ship. Verse 19, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. I mean, we find that things are just getting worse on that boat ride. This was no cruise ship for them. First off, they were prisoners, right? There was no first class cabin for them. But all of a sudden, the wind gets more fierce. The waves get higher. They're having to throw everything overboard. We find that sometimes our lives are like that. Things are out of our control. Our plans are falling apart. But how can we find encouragement? It's interesting that in Scripture, especially in the book of Psalms, we find that many times troubles and trials in our life are likened to storms. In Psalm 89, verses 8 and 9, it says, O Lord, God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. We're reminded here in the book of Psalms, and also when Christ was on the Sea of Galilee with his disciples, that God is in control of the storms. And I'm sure you all living in Florida know something about storms, don't you? And God is in control. Because the psalmist also said, when he cried out and he prayed, take me to the rock that is higher than I. And in every storm we face, we know that we have a refuge in Christ Jesus. We know that there is a foundation that no storm, no wave can ever take out, and that is Christ. Returning back to Acts chapter 27, we find that things get difficult. And I want to say this, that sometimes things are difficult in life. There is nothing that will discourage a person more or deceive a person more thinking that if they surrender their life to Christ, that suddenly they will be free of problems. It doesn't always work that way. We can get saved, we can give our lives, we can surrender, and we still wake up with the same aches and pains we went to bed with. But that doesn't mean God doesn't care. That doesn't mean that God is not working. And we find that Paul knew that even though this journey would be difficult, that it would grant him the opportunities to preach the gospel and represent Christ. And know this, that the difficulties we face are our opportunities to preach the gospel and represent Jesus Christ. The fact that God calls us to a certain place does not necessarily mean that our faith will not be tested in the way. We must not think that just because bad things are happening to us that God is against us. Or we'll find ourselves in the same situation, the same state of mind of Jacob saying, "All these things are against me." We find a description of their journey. Look what it says in verse 16. We're going to go back through. It said, verse 16, "In running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat." What that means is we had a lot of difficulties. It wasn't easy trying to steer that boat. It wasn't easy keeping it intact. He goes down to verse 18, and we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest. Look at verse 20 again. "And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared," so we find it's not just one bad day, many bad days. No sun, no stars. If you're trying to navigate in the old world, you needed the sun. You needed stars to know where you were going. And they have no idea where they're going. They don't know if they're pointed north. They don't know if they're pointed south. How many of us have had days like that where we just don't know where we're going, where we're going to end up? No sun, no stars for many days. As it goes on in verse 20, the last phrase, it says, "All hope that we should be saved was then taken away." No hope. No cheer. Crying. Upset. Grown men on that boat, prisoners in shackles. Crying. Scared. But in verse 21 it says, "But after a long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, 'Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and have gained this harm and loss.'" And look at verse 22. "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship." So after many days of silence, many days of worry, finally the Apostle Paul steps out and he calls everyone's attention. And he says, "Be of good cheer." Could you imagine hearing the Apostle Paul say that after many days of no sun, no stars? Who is this guy? Let's just throw him overboard. Get him out of here. Well, who does he think he is? Doesn't he know the situation we find ourselves in? And don't we act like that sometimes when we're discouraged and God sends us somebody to encourage us, and instead of receiving their encouragement, we get a little upset with them? And Paul steps out and he says, "Be of good cheer." And then look at verse 25, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer." So he says it again. And then look at verse 36. We're going to jump ahead. "Then were they all of good cheer? And they also took some meat. They started eating. Now, if there's anything that'll cheer me up, it's a good meal, right? Especially meat, right? And so what do we find? Paul steps out and he says, be of good cheer. And he has to say it again. One time's not enough. And sometimes we need encouragement more than once, right? Be of good cheer. But then we find they are all of good cheer. So how can we be encouraged in difficulties so that we can encourage others? Because for Paul to encourage others, he had to first encourage himself. So we find in verse 22, or verses 22 through 25, we find how Paul was able to be encouraged so that he could encourage others. And so this is sort of the application of this message. This is where I want to bring us to. This is the meat and potatoes, right? This is what we're going to take home with us. This is what we're going to put into practice tomorrow. So how do we encourage others? We find here in verse 22, in verse 23, we find the comfort he takes in God's presence. The comfort he takes in God's presence. Now remember the situation, right? That many days, no sun, no stars, fierce winds. But Paul says, I exhort you to be of good cheer. And in verse 23, he says, for there stood by me this night the angel of God. There he experienced the presence of God that night. He was comforted by the fact that God is with him. And I will say that we could take comfort in the fact that God is with us. We cannot escape his presence in the most difficult circumstances. In the darkest night, God is there. And the Apostle Paul was able to cheer up everybody on that boat, because he was experiencing the presence of God in his life. And when we get discouraged, what we need to do is draw even closer to him. Now, what happens when trials come our way? There are two reactions to difficulties in our lives. The first reaction we can have is, this isn't fair. Why is God letting this happen to me? I don't like it. This isn't just. And what happens is we sort of pull away from God in the process, because we're not happy that God is allowing things to happen in our life. And the reaction we have is to pull away. Or we can have the opposite reaction, and when difficult things, it causes us to seek him even more. It causes us to draw nigh to him. So when things happen in your life, what is your reaction? Is it to pull away from God or to draw nearer to him? So he found comfort in God's presence, and he was also motivated by God's purpose. Motivated by God's purpose. Look what he says in verse 23. Again, he says, there stood by me this night the angel of God. And look, listen to this declaration. Whose I am and whom I serve. I don't care. Underline that in your Bible. And when life is difficult, and you have not seen the sun for many days, and you don't know which direction things are going, I want you to remember who you belong to and who you serve. And he was motivated by that. If it was God's will that he be in the middle of that sea, in the middle of that tempest, so be it. Because he knew who he was, and he knew who he served. So he was motivated by God's presence, and he says, whose I am, I belong to God. We need to remember that, who we belong to, purchased with a price, and whom I serve. The other thing we see in verse 25, he says again, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. Here's what, for I believe God. We find some great phrases in this passage of scripture, don't we? For whose I am, for who I serve. And then he says, I believe God. Now, I want to underline that phrase. So when that dark day comes, and when you've not seen sun or stars for many days, and you don't know which direction you're headed, just remember, I believe God. And he says, I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Because God had laid it on his heart that he would preach the gospel to the Gentiles and to kings. And he knew that his journey to Rome was not in vain, but it would open up a door for God to be glorified and the gospel to be preached. And he said, I believe God. So we find that he was, one, comforted by the presence of God. He was, number two, motivated by God's purpose. Number three, he was trusting in God's word. I believe God that it's going to happen just like he said. And we understand there's nothing that takes him by surprise in our lives. And then we find in verse 34, if we can go forward, verse 34, wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health. And interesting thing that when we get discouraged, we can find ourselves in a cycle, right? Because we're body and mind and soul, body, soul, and spirit. And so what affects our mind will eventually affect our bodies, right? And what affects our bodies will affect our soul. And we can find ourselves in a cycle, right? A person who's fighting with discouragement and depression, what happens? They become physically sick, and they become physically sick, which makes them even more discouraged and depressed. And they find themselves in this circle that they just can't seem to get out and escape. So the Apostle Paul begins to focus not only on their state emotionally, but he's focusing on their physical health as well. And he says, take some time to eat. Eat this meat. It's the same thing the Lord did to Elijah when he found himself running from Jezebel and he was out in the wilderness and he fell asleep and he woke up and there the angel of the Lord left him a cake there to eat. Arise and eat. So whenever you feel discouraged, what's the lesson? Just eat. No. But he tells them to get up and he says, eat. Because what happens when we're discouraged? What happens when that discouragement turns to anxiety, that anxiety turns to depression? We withdraw from the very things we need that gets us out of that state of mind. He says, be of good cheer. Let's eat something. And then look what he says in verse 35. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. So he's there setting that example. So there before all these men, and you got to understand who this group of guys are. These are prisoners, right? These are tough guys, right? But they're acting like babies because they're all scared, right? So they show they weren't so tough. But the Apostle Paul goes out there. He says, be of good cheer. Let's eat something. And then in the middle of all this, while the wind is still blowing, he lifts up his voice and he gives thanks to God. So how do we be encouraged? We give thanks to God for his provisions. We don't look at what we do not have. We look at what we've been given. And we thank God for what we've been given. And when the Apostle Paul did those things, when he was comforted by God's presence, when he was motivated by God's purpose, when he was confident in God's word, when he was thankful for God's provision, he cheered everybody up. And we find in verse 36, then were they all of good cheer. So tonight I want to encourage you, be encouraged so that you can encourage others. Because we live in a time where we need encouragement. You know what? What makes a Christian the type of Christian that impacts the world around them? What makes a Christian most effective? And I want you to think about that. What makes a Christian an effective testimony? Is it his ability to debate the great truths of the Bible? That might be important, but that doesn't necessarily make somebody effective. Is it because he's attending church three times a week? That's good, but that doesn't necessarily mean he's effective. What makes an effective Christian is an encouraging Christian, a joyful Christian, one that we like to be around, right? Because if we're grumpy, nobody wants to be around us, and if nobody wants to be around us, we cannot impact their lives. But if we're of good cheer, we'll help others be of good cheer. So, in conclusion, a couple applications It doesn't matter how strong the storm is, we've got to remember that we have a firm anchor in Christ Jesus. In the middle of your storm, don't forget who you are and who you serve. And nothing, there is no storm big enough that can interrupt God's plan. Also, remember that when there are storms in our lives, everybody is looking for a leader to follow. Be that leader. The Apostle Paul stepped out and said, be of good cheer, be of good cheer. Then eventually they were all of good cheer. In 2012, 32 people died when the cruise boat, the Costa Concordia, sunk off the coast of Italy. The investigation revealed that the people died because they did not follow the evacuation protocol like they should have. In fact, when the Coast Guard arrived to rescue, they found that the captain had already abandoned the ship and they ordered him back on that boat because he was not the leader. He was not putting in place the proper protocol to get people off that boat. The Apostle Paul was the one guy that stood out and said, be of good cheer, let's give thanks to God. And then look at verse 37, and we're going to finish here. And we were in all in the ship, 216 souls. Nobody died. Nobody perished. They were all saved. And the Lord put the Apostle Paul on that boat in the middle of that storm. And because of the Apostle Paul was there, nobody perished. So God might have us in a storm, maybe not necessarily for our benefit or not necessarily for us, but maybe he's doing a work in the people around us. And he's using us. He's using us in a way to help others around us, just like the Apostle Paul. So I want to encourage you to be encouraged. Be encouraged so that you can encourage others. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for the opportunity that you have given us to partner with this church for so many years in the work of the gospel, the ministry there in Chile. Lord, I thank you for what you've done here, what you're doing there in Chile as well. Lord, I thank you for this great group of people that we have here this evening. And Lord, I pray that we would remain encouraged because there is so much out there to get us discouraged. There is so much out there to get us distracted. Lord, how we need Christians that will stand up in the midst of the storm and call out to the rest, be of good cheer. And Lord, as believers, it doesn't matter how strong the winds blow, how fierce the waves beat up against us, we can be of good cheer. Because we find ourselves in the presence of God. We find ourselves doing God's purpose, trusting in God's word. Lord, I pray that we would be encouraged so that we, in turn, might encourage others. For it's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.